Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking again today on the subject of headship. Headship is so often misunderstood, and I want to try to make it as clear as I possibly can today that the kind of authority that God bestows on men, specifically on husbands, is very different from the world's authority. And I want to read to you from Luke 22, verses 24 to 27. You remember that Jesus is sitting at the supper table with his disciples, and a jealous dispute broke out. Who among them should rank the highest? But he said, "In the world, kings lord it over their subjects, and those in authority are called their country's benefactors. Not so with you. On the contrary, the highest among you must bear himself like the youngest, the chief of you like a servant. For who is greater, the one who sits at table or the servant who waits on him? Surely the one who sits at table. Yet here am I among you like a servant." Note the strength and the tenderness of Jesus. The strength demonstrated in his ability to sit down and eat in the face of the terrible suffering which was about to come upon him. He sits down, his thought is for his disciples, and he's able to eat. Most of us, I suppose, have had the experience of being in the midst of terrific pressure or suffering or fear or grief and just finding it impossible to eat. Jesus was able to leave his own feelings aside for the sake of his disciples. Manliness is tender, not tough in the brutal macho sense, but strong enough to be gentle and thoughtful. In James 5:11, we read, "The Lord is very pitiful and tender, full of understanding pity for us men," another translation says. Now, what awakens tenderness? I think, for one thing, it's the recognition of helplessness. Who of us doesn't feel tender toward a tiny baby or a little helpless animal? Now, I can just imagine that some of you women are getting your backs up right now thinking, well, if my husband is supposed to be tender to me, does that mean that he has to think of me as totally helpless? What I want to say to the women is that we need to acknowledge our need of what a husband is given to us to do. We need to let them know that we need them. You know, sometimes that really is the solution to a conflict between a husband and wife. The wife's acknowledgement that, "I really need you, sweetheart, or darling, or honey, or whatever you want to call him. I need you. Sometimes I don't act as though I do. But I need to depend on him to do what he is meant under God to do." And that awakens a man's tenderness. Am I right, gentlemen, you who are listening to me? Can you identify with what I'm saying here? Don't you feel more tender toward your wife when she is weak or perhaps even sick, when she's acknowledging the fact that she really does need you? We need to allow our husbands to cherish us and to protect us. C.S. Lewis says, "Christianity is hard as nails, hard and tender at the same time. It's the blend that does it. Neither quality would be any good without the other." And I would say that a man must at times be hard as nails, willing to face up to the truth about himself and about the woman he loves, refusing compromise when compromise is wrong, but he must also be tender. And let me tell you, gentlemen, that there is no weapon that will breach the armor of a woman's resentment like tenderness. I know. I'm a woman. You may not understand your wife. You may find her unreasonable and illogical and unreachable by any means other than honest tenderness. But if she can believe, even for a second or two, that you really want to understand her, that you are earnestly trying to see things from her point of view, she will budge. I really believe that. Sometimes I appear unbudgeable to others, including my husband. But I also know what a man's arms around me will do to my defenses. And St. Peter said to husbands, try to understand the wives you live with. I'm glad he said try, because Peter probably recognized the impossibility of a total understanding. So, you husbands, are you tender enough to see your wife with the eyes of love as God's gift to you, needing you and tough enough to endure her occasional silliness, pettiness, and maybe her illogical arguments without losing your temper? Are you tender enough to take her face in your two hands and look into her eyes and say, I love you? Loving is a lot more than making love. You remember that Paul said that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. My husband and I spent long evenings by the fire with a man who was on the verge of divorce. Again and again, we spoke to him about that passage in Ephesians 5. He would come to us with long lists of all the things that his wife was doing wrong. And it was a long list, and I'm sure that any husband could draw up such a list. And their wives, of course, could draw up long lists as well. But it says in Ephesians 5 that the willing subjection of the church is to be reproduced in the submission of wives. Now, maybe that doesn't sound like the Bible to you, but that is one of the modern translations. Here it is, the words that are in that chapter, Ephesians 5, the willing subjection of the church to Christ should be reproduced in the submission of wives to their husbands. And Paul goes right on to say, but remember, this means that the husband must give his wife the same sort of love that Christ gave to the church when he sacrificed himself for her. Christ gave himself to make her holy, having cleansed her through the baptism of his word, to make her an altogether glorious church in his eyes. So the husband bears a solemn responsibility before God to make his wife holier. And that's not by bossism and tyranny and beating her over the head with a 2x4. It is by sacrifice, just as Christ did. He doesn't beat us over the head with a 2x4. Are you making unilateral decisions? Do you take your wife into discussions about how to spend time and money? Or are you indulging in your freedom to spend time and money without consideration of anybody else? Loving your wife takes hard work, responsibility, attention, care, and all the little things. What do I mean by sacrifice? I keep talking about sacrifice. Well, for one thing, the sacrifice of your own feelings, whims, ambitions, desires, and to get very specific, it might mean not watching that game on Saturday, not playing that game of golf. It might mean your willingness to accept the menu that your wife provides without complaints. It might mean a willingness to wait, to keep your mouth shut, to speak of your love. For some of you, it's very difficult to speak of your love, to take your wife's face in your hands and to say, I love you, honey. The sacrifice of being inconvenienced in small ways. Nobody can live with anybody else without being inconvenienced. Do you do it graciously, lovingly, and gladly? or do you do it grumpily? Christ gave himself to make the church holy. The church is his bride. Now stop and think. How can a man do this? Do you feel up to it? Are you adequate? Well, you're not, of course. But a man can do it because a man can always do the will of God. He can do it by prayer, by spiritual leadership, by support, by that costly sensitivity to her need, by forgiveness, and by encouragement. And now just a very few words on the subject of lovemaking. Remember, it was God's idea. He wants you to enjoy its pleasure, its joy, and its fun. Live joyfully, says the book of Proverbs, with the wife of thy youth. Let her breasts satisfy thee at all times. The Bible says that Isaac sported with his wife, and that word sported indicates a lot of fun. It was a way of treating his wife, which was very obviously not the way he would treat just any woman. He played with her. The Old Testament law for the newly married was 1 year to be happy with his wife whom he has taken. A man did not have to go to war for a whole year in order that he could be happy with the wife that God had given him. God wants men to be happy, and he made a law to ensure it. There are some hideous misconceptions of sex and of Christians' attitudes towards sex, but remember, it was God's idea, it was God's gift, and the husband has no right over his own body. He has rights over his wife's, and vice versa. The wife does not own her own body. It is now for her husband. Love means leaving self behind. May God enable each of you husbands to love your wives as Christ loved the church. God bless you.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.